G'day, ballers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was, and forgive us if we're a little bit extra snappy tonight. My name's Jono, coach of the Haasbeens, and with me to talk about all of the big news and some of the bad news coming out of round six is the coach of Tubes' Pods. Tubes, how you going, mate? Welcome to the snap.
Yeah, g'day, Jono. I'm glad to be here. You are a bit extra snappy tonight. We were having a nice conversation about our ready to explodes, and you were ready to explode at me.
I might pick myself for ready to explode this week in the most controversial pick yet. Far out.
It wasn't
a good day today, Tubes. How'd you fare?
Look, I'm sitting here having my cup of tea. It's a two biscuit type of night tonight.
How many do you normally? Was most nights a one biscuit night?
One biscuit. Tonight's a two biscuit night, and maybe a chocolate thrown in after this nap. We'll see. I was having a pretty good weekend until I went the 50-50 call of little Pappy captain versus Ponga captain. And usually if you get captaincy wrong, it costs you 50, 60, maybe at best 80 points. Ponga being my worst player, even with captaincy dropping out of the 18, it's ended up costing me about 140 odd points, that decision. So yeah, not too happy, but I've ended up about 1150, so probably below average, but it's going to be a big spread this weekend, I think, with some captaincy misses.
Yeah. So, Jeeves, just to clarify, you said that Ponga, as your captain, so he's 42 that he's currently sitting on, was your worst score. So I guess it shows that the rest of your team had a pretty good week.
Yeah. He's currently dropped out of my team. If he gets an upgrade, he might go over Jesse Arthurs, who's 44, I think. But, yeah, so 1150. If I captained Ponga, I was getting 1300. If I captained Pappy, I was getting 1300. So overall, outside of my captaincy choice, I've had a good week with the team.
Which is, I'm sitting, you saying your score might be slightly below par. I'm sitting 100 points less than you with 1,000 and I think 46 pre-updates for a few of the games coming through. So I didn't have Pappy. So you're sitting there, oh, I didn't captain Pappy, but I didn't even own Pappy. So, and I did captain Ponga as well. So, yeah, that's why I'm extra snappy tonight. But look, that's how Supercoach goes sometimes. And I've got to say, even watching Pappy today, a little part of me was maybe 5%, still happy just to see him running so freely and playing well after a few bad years. But not my day, Sunday. I'm always up for the Sunday snap. That's where I do my best work. But the daytime during Sundays haven't been so good the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I feel like we've been cursed since we've started the Sunday snap. Like Sundays have just not worked out for us.
Yeah, maybe it's just like so we are snappy.
It's doing it for content, the universe.
I wish I could pretend I was doing it for content, but it's in no way, shape or form. Before we get into our proper analysis of the weekend that was, join the SC Ballers Unlimited League. They're still open at the moment. I think they're going to keep it open for a few more weeks. And there are $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The league code for that is 730444. That's 730444. And Tubes, baller.live, BALLR.live, we've spoken about the speed in the past of the website and how it's the quickest Supercoach website going by a long way, by a few minutes. A new feature this week that I'm absolutely obsessed with. I think Supercoach nerds like myself have been seriously yearning for what has happened on the Baller website. Do you want to fill us in?
I want you to fill us in. You sound very excited about it. I think it's pretty good.
It made my weekend. So they are now showing live minutes, and this has been a huge area in Supercoach that has been rubbish for the entirety of Supercoach. Fox Sports don't show minutes. The Supercoach app doesn't show minutes until after the game's lockout is finished. And you always had to go through. You had to go to NRL.com to see accurate minutes. And they're showing a completely different type of fantasy rugby league that they're showing points for. Just annoying having to jump around through those two websites. And not only that, the minutes feature, it shows how many they play. It's also showing who's coming off the field and who's coming on. It was highlighted green for players who were currently sitting on the field, red for the guys who were subbed out. I was obsessed with it, as you can hear. This is the happiest I've been all episode. I'm happier talking about a minutes feature than I am the rear.
Yeah, no, it is good. It's I just I've seen like a bit of feedback coming through on Twitter and a bit of feedback on the actual site itself. And because it's all developed in Australia by just sport obsessed people, like they're making live changes. I think they deployed something over the weekend that updated like a label change. So keep the feedback coming in for everyone that's starting to use it, because it is unbelievable, but it's only going to keep getting better.
Yeah. All right. Well, big plug, like, and that's a genuine plug. I couldn't be more happy. Like, if I had no relationship with Baller, that would now be the website I'd be going to, guaranteed, every single time. Tubes, let's get ourselves back into a bit more of a foul mood, and let's start with our rage trade segment.
Are you little?
I think there's only one place we can start, isn't there, Tubes, as you take a bite on your first biscuit of the episode. Who are you looking at as your rage trade candidate?
Sorry, I got to finish my bicky. I needed to calm down before talking about this. My rage trade is Kalyn Ponga. He's going to have a break even next week of 140. I think after losing another 120K this week, he's gone 30-something last week into 21 this week, which you just can't have from your fullbacks, especially your premium price fullbacks. Like, I don't even know if it's him. The Knights are awful. They look terrible. Greg Marju can't catch. Like, so you like that's a tough thing for a winger to be able to win games. And yeah, it's an important attribute.
Skill set. Yeah.
It almost felt like I was 5 minutes in. I think I texted you. Phoenix Crossland at half. I didn't factor in one captain in Ponga. Just nothing was set up that well for him today. I really want to trade him, not because I don't believe in Kalyn Ponga, but I just can't get behind this Knights team. So it's just so much money. Like, and there's so many good fullback options. So yeah, I'm going to be having a good hard look at KP this week.
They have now scored 46 points in 5 games. They're averaging less than 10 points a game. And a lot of those points came in round 2. So they really had this one decent scoring game. The rest of it's been absolutely rubbish. But I can't get on board with him as a rage trade just because he's lost so much value now. And he is Kalyn Ponga. He's going to make that value back. I just hope it's before Origin, because over the Origin period, he might be a trade, but it just doesn't feel right selling him after losing all this money, because he could just as easily come out next week and get a huge score. But I am feeling the rage with you. I just can't get on board the trade part of the rage trade.
All right. Fair enough.
My one, Tubes, is maybe one that his owners, his 8% of owners, which is higher than I expected. They probably will not be rage trading out this one. This is a plea for Ivan Cleary to make a rage trade. My rage trade this week is Casey McLean. And I want to start out by saying I'm a huge Casey McLean fan. He's 18 years old. I thought he looked great when he came on the scene last year. He was incredible for New Zealand when he played in the tests at the back end of last year. I'm not discounting him as an overall player with a huge future, but he is absolutely killing your man, my man, our man, everybody's man, Tom Jenkins. He's letting that bloke catch a cold out there in the wing. He won't pass the ball to him, and it is incredibly frustrating. And this is time for Ivan Cleary to maybe rage trade him out of left centre, maybe put him on a wing, but it's not working at the moment.
And throw Blaze in while you're there as well, who also couldn't seem to pass to an open Jenkins this weekend as well.
Did you see that? I sent that compilation through to you of all the times Jenkins could have strolled over untouched for tries. Again, a snapshot into my mindset that my TikTok algorithm's coming up with Jenkins, all these missed try opportunities. There's seriously 4 where he just would have walked over untouched in the last 2 weeks. So incredibly frustrating, but I do understand that if you own Casey McLean, you're not going to actually trade him out yourself with a 64 with a try from the weekend.
Yeah. Look, I get that, Jono, and I can get on board. I understand. And it felt like a big deal on Thursday night that they weren't passing the ball to Jenkins for a 47. But that was until Kalyn Ponga got 21 today and we captained him. I think Casey McLean, nowhere near as big of a rage trade as Kalyn Ponga this week.
No, he's not. I didn't think I could have got angrier than I was at Casey McLean on Thursday night than between watching Ryan Pappenhausen kill it and then Pappy. Yeah, it was beaten a couple of times today. All right, let's get into our game analysis. And the first game of the round was the Dolphins versus the Panthers, which we've alluded to with Casey McLean Thursday night at Suncorp. Choose, instead of focusing on a play to start with, I want to focus on a general topic coming up from this game. Do you think that we should change our mindset on Penrith as a Supercoach team this year? They're coming now 5 losses in a row. They're conceding over 28 points a game and their attack is just not clicking at all. Are you starting to now officially change your mindset about bringing in Penrith players and playing people against Penrith?
Definitely the latter. I'm not convinced that their attack can't click. It didn't look good this week, but I do think that can come together. The second one though, which is, you know, playing against Penrith. I mean, the Dogs are this year's Penrith from a defensive side of things. Usually you would say that's a terrible matchup from a points perspective. Even if Casey's dropped, they've got to find someone to bring into the centres. They're both sides at the moment, Casey McLean, Isaac Tungo, who's possibly worse defensively, Luke Garner. They've been playing around with Papali'i, Sorensen, Martin, like Blaise Talungi now as the 5'8". Like, their edges are just getting absolutely smashed this year. Like, it's basically almost you should be playing an outside back against Penrith.
Yeah, it's kind of, you said that the Dogs and the Penrith, it's kind of is. It's the Dogs and the Storm are the two that you look at now in the lineup and go, oh, I don't really want to play my guy against them. But you're looking at Penrith now and you're not concerned. But I agree. I'm not writing them off as an attacking team. I'm not writing them off as an NRL team in terms of making the top 8 and whatever. But I don't think I'm scared of playing my players against Penrith for the medium-term future. What about Nathan Cleary, Tubes? He ended up with a 58 somehow after he got one of the luckiest try assists all the time after Matt, your brother's man, Jack Bostock, kicked one in for some reason straight to Penrith. He's now going to be down below 650K, losing a bit of value, but he's probably not a concern at all for YouTubes.
I mean, he's a concern, but I won't be selling him. He's still just so dominant. He's going to do well. Like, these are sort of his floor scores. I'm probably more concerned about one we'll talk about, Nico Hines, coming up. But, yeah. Pretty lucky if anyone hasn't jumped on Cleary. It's a nice time to buy below 650K.
Oh, unbelievable time. Jenkins, we spoke about him not getting any tries, but he still had a 47. His base plus power was a little bit down this week. It was the lowest that he's had since being in the outside backs for Penrith, but he's going to go up another 60K. His break even is in the low teens, and he still just seems to have a way of getting it done. And he has to score a try at some point. So I still feel pretty confident playing Jenko, I think, Tubes.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he'll find his way into the centres next week. Big Bad Brian hopefully coming back for the Panthers. Don't know. Like, I think he's not a must play like I thought he was over the last couple of weeks. He's now in the conversation with some of those other cheap centre wingers to make your 7-8.
And just got to give Hammer a bit of a bait. He got 124 points and he was just back to his supporting and free running best. He was 501K coming into this week, so a bit of value there. But unlike previous years, he's not available at centre wing, so I don't think you could ever take him seriously as a buy, and he's now going to go up by 70K. Any thoughts on Hammer, Tubes, or do you want to move on to the Dragons versus the Titans?
Yeah, let's get on to King Gutho.
What do you want to say about Gutho?
I don't know. I was feeling pretty smug on Saturday afternoon. Most captained, I think it was 40% captained by the top 1%, I think was the Supercoach stat that was coming out.
That's big.
He's had a 54 when the Dragons have put on 40. He was still involved. He's still, that's probably pretty close to his floor, isn't it, with Gutho, 54. They killed them out in their outside backs. They were sort of cutting Gutho out. Flanagan was having a nice field day, just cutting straight to Val or cutting straight to Sully and then setting up to Tuipulotu on the left-hand side. So I'd still be holding Gutho if you owned him or one of the 5,000 that brought him in for his 54 on the weekend.
Yeah, Dan's advice on the Q&A show from Thursday came good there. He was saying about avoiding Gutho, and those 5,000 people didn't listen to his advice. And you wouldn't be thrilled, but like you said, he's a hold for next week. Their draw's still pretty nice coming up. Valentine Holmes is well and truly back on the radar. He had a 97, and he's been solid this year. He's had a couple of scores in the 70s, a couple of scores below. He is down to 703K, so he's lost a bit of value. He's a pod at only 7% ownership. Origin's looming, though, Tubes. Is it too late now for Val?
I think so. He scored a try. He set up a couple. Seemed to have one line break, two try contributions. So, yeah, pretty solid 97. I do think it's probably too late with Origin coming up. He certainly, the way they played on the weekend, the fact that he's one of their clear go-to guys, he does pique my interest a little bit more for that post-Origin run than what I would have thought at the start of the season.
Chiopilotto, I don't think he's one who warrants heavy discussion, Tubes, but he is 15% owned and he had 95 on the weekend. He was back. The try celebration was back, but he does look set to miss a week with a bit of a hamstring twinge, according to Flano after the game. And well done to owners because his BE is now, break even is now back down to 27. What about Couchy, Tubes? Toby Couchman, who I know Matt and Dan spruiked big time in the preseason. He's gone up to 526K. He had 82, and in 51 minutes, he had 75 points in base plus power. That is absolutely incredible. And he's still going to be available for around 550K this week. So still a fair bit of value there for Couchy.
Yeah, for sure. I thought he looked injured from the very start of the game too. Just these Gerringong boys, they get it done.
Is he another Gerringong boy?
Yeah, I think so. I could be making that up. But I think him and his brother are also Gerringong boys, as well as Egan and Hamish Stewart.
Hamish Macbeth, as you've christened.
Hamish Macbeth.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is very impressive. The Titans do have some relevant players to talk about. A couple of them are going to come up in segments later on in the show. So for here, let's talk about Jaden Campbell, who had 83 points without a try or a try assist. And he just looked at his best when he was running the ball, particularly in the last 20 minutes of the game. Tubes, how much longer do you think he's going to be the halfback for the Titans for? And do you think that's good or bad for his Supercoach prospects?
I don't know. I mean, Chris summed it up pretty well with about he's such a frustrating watch, and not because of him, but because how bad the Titans are as well. Like you just see how much potential he has from a Supercoach perspective, but also as an NRL player. If you ask me how long is he going to be the half for, I think he'll stay halfback. I think Foran will come back and play 5-8, but they won't give up. I don't think they'll give up on this Campbell experiment as halfback. But whether that means he's the dominant half, I don't know. But I think they'll stick with him, and I think it'll be good for him to potentially have a Foran as a halves partner.
Tubes, just for context, for new listeners, you mentioned Chris. That's Chris who coaches C-Max 86ers, who was he ranked in the 20s this week, and he's had another good
28,
week.
28, yeah.
Ponga. He's Captain Ponga this week and has had another pretty good week, so potentially Green Arrows.
Captain Pappy.
Yeah.
Captain Pappy.
Yeah. Did I say Ponga? Yeah, he would be getting Green Arrows if he Captain Ponga. But no, Captain Pappy, and he's looking good again, baller contributor Chris. All right, let's go to the next game, Tubes. The Broncos versus the Roosters, also at Suncorp. And Teddy was one that you spruiked as a really good buy a couple of weeks ago. He's come out and had a 91 with only one assist. And it seems like, unfortunately, for potential owners, he's not going to get any cheaper before that Origin of buy period.
Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't matter. Like, I think they've got a buy in 2 weeks or something like that. And he's basically a must buy after that. He
definitely.
Especially with Savala and Sandon Smith, their halves, it basically just means that he's their dominant spine player and he's just going to touch the ball as much as he wants to. I also think that it likely means Connor Watson comes into being much more prolific. I don't know, whatever
prolific?
The word is.
Prolific is a word.
Prolific. Purely because, again, with those two halves, like a lot more seem to be running off Connor Watson, which can only be good for his Supercoach score.
Connor Watson had 78 points with two try assists. And I think the best part is he actually played 80 minutes. Zach Docker-Clay, their bench hooker, just didn't come on the field at all. So owners have to be cheering with that. It'll be interesting to see if that's a tactic that Robbo will stick with and potentially not even pick Docker-Clay on the bench or have him there just as a break glass in case of emergency type option, but really promising for his owners. Had to be happy with that. What about Billy Smith, Tubes? Great to see him back. We spoke about him last week as a potential upcoming cheapie. He had 79 points from two tries, but that also included him being sin-binned and off the field for 10 minutes as well. He has a break-even that's going to be in the negative 50s, but he is going to miss next week due to suspension unless the Roosters fight. Do you think he's going to hold his spot when he comes back, Tubes? If he does, he's a must-buy.
Yeah, I think he 100% holds his spot. I think it's a shootout between Toya and Dom Young, potentially. I'm assuming Marky Mark didn't pass a fitness test or something like that. He wasn't actually just left out of the side, yeah.
No, he's not dropped. He's still hurt.
Billy looks unbelievable. You know, he's always looked like a very good NRL player, barring injuries. But, looks very strong. I think he'll retain that centre spot when he's back from suspension if he doesn't challenge that. I hope he does because I want to bring him in this week playing the Panthers.
Yeah, he'd be a great buy. The halfback you mentioned, Chips, Hugo Savala, played on the weekend, his first time playing at starting halfback for the Roosters. He got a 20, but very, very importantly, he actually got dual second row forward this week. So last week when we spoke about him, he was a halfback only when you brought him up as you're ready to explode. This week he is now available dual second row forward. So he actually had a pretty good game on the weekend in terms of actual footy. It just didn't translate at all into Supercoach. Funnily enough, if he weren't already 198K bottom dollar, he would actually lose 20K this week based on his Supercoach output so far. And his break even is still 36. It's not like you have to bring him in this week. But I'll tell you what, if you had a second rower who you're looking to downgrade, I'd still be pretty tempted.
I wouldn't. I don't think he's a Supercoach option. I know that like he's a starting halfback, but I just don't.
He's bottom dollar with a guaranteed
role. Yeah, but it feels like, I mean, I'd want to see a couple of weeks, I suppose. It feels like that role is going to be kick, defend well, hand over the keys to Teddy, don't get in the way like the Chad did. And don't drop the ball and kick the ball out on the full. And he did all those things very well.
Yep. All right, well, I'd be tempted. I think if something falls, there's a chance I'll bring him in this week, but we'll see how we go. On to the Broncos, Payne Haas, he was the second most popular captain of the weekend after Kalen Ponga. He had a pretty good score on the weekend. He ended up getting updated to 80-odd, I believe, Tubes, 81, 82, or thereabouts. But do you want to give the people, last week your little black book, Tubes, was about the Payne Haas minutes theory. Do you want to give us an update on how the minutes theory went and what your theory was coming into last week and how it progressed?
The theory just was that he might play less minutes. There was a bit of we don't need to go over the theory. The theory didn't work out, Jono.
I don't know if I actually don't think that's completely true, Tubes. I think the theory kind of did because the theory was that Madge is never going to play Payne Haas and Pat Carrigan big minutes at the same time. With every week, one of them had been playing 70, one of them had been playing 50. It had never happened at the same time. And that did continue. Haas played 70 minutes, Carrigan played low 50s.
Yeah, but the important part about the theory was that it was predictable when that was going to happen.
Yes.
It was two weeks on, two weeks off. And Haas played 53 minutes straight this week. So that theory was out the door pretty quickly. He's ended up playing 68 minutes. Carrigan's played 54. You can't predict when or how it's potentially going to happen. Haas looked unbelievable again for his minutes and, as you said, scored well, but couldn't do enough to get the Broncos over the line against the Roosters.
Yeah, and I think just one more thing on that, on the theory, Tubes, the minutes series. It would have been nice if it was reasonable for captaincy purposes. Like this week, Payne ended up being a really good captaincy option. And not knowing if one week it's going to be his week or Payne or Pat Carrigan's week who plays big minutes, it is a big pain in the ass when it comes to captaincy choices. Do you like that one?
Yep.
All right, we'll move on. Reece Walsh had a 69. He had a try and a try assist to Jesse Arthurs, another well-owned player who got a 44. But the most important place, I want to finish it with the Tubes. It's pour one out for Shibasaki. He had 52. Another 40K in the bank. Nice playable option, but his break-even is in the mid-70s now. Is it time to say Shib bye-bye, Saki?
I don't think so. They're playing the Warriors next week. Do you give him one more go, like just for that run around?
Maybe. It could kickstart a whole new price rise if he goes big.
Yeah, there's plenty. There's plenty of things to look on. He's an option this week. We'll get to a few other center wing options this week, but I might be trading with my heart this week and not my head, and holding on to young GI for another week against the Warriors.
I seriously hope you do. And like, the matchup is a fair point. I guess if you look at it from a pure mathematical standpoint, it seems logical to trade, but it's a nice matchup. We saw what happened to the Warriors today. I really want you to keep him and play him one more week, Shoes. It would feel wrong for you to trade your man, young GI. Mm.
I might hold him for the season. At some point, I'll have to captain him. Like, if I keep going the way I am, I'll be out of contention soon anyway, so may as well just start going rogue.
I hope not. I hope not too rogue. All right, let's get on to the next game, the Cronulla Sharks versus the Manly Seagulls, which is at Optus Stadium in Perth, the first of a doubleheader. And we do have to start with Nicho Hynes, who had a 38. Actually, I do want to mention these Saturday games still haven't been updated as of going to air to record the Sunday snaps. So by the time that the listeners get this, that score could have changed. But as it stands, he got a 38, and Trindle was the dominant man again. Nicho Hynes is about to be sub-700K with a break-even in the 120s. What are your thoughts as a Sharks fan, Tubes?
It just feels like we're saying the same thing every week and nothing's sort of changing. The Sharks are not a better team with Trindle being a dominant halfback. It's not good for Nico's super coach. He's just two rocks or diamonds, Trindle, and most more diamonds than rocks. Like, it's just too volatile. I don't know. Like, they've won the game. I don't see anything changing. Do I think that means Nicho can be a sell? Geez, it still feels tough. But I think he's a much bigger consideration. A lot of people, though, were probably feeling pretty good on Saturday for those that sold Nicho to go to Jerome Hughes. But then that obviously hasn't worked out well. Hughes is now injured. So it's sort of just who you're bringing him in for. Let's just play it out and say that a young gun half actually came onto the scene, or there was like some, you know, ready to explode actual halfback coming through. I'd trade Nicho now in a heartbeat, but I don't want to trade him to another gun, I suppose, at the moment. I don't think there's anyone to trade him to.
You've spoken a lot about owning him. What about non-owners? Like, friend of the show, Richo, is a non-owner of Nicho Hynes, and he texted me after that game saying Nicho might not even be worth a trading. There's 30% of Supercoach still own Luke Metcalf, only 19% own Nicho Hynes. So are you telling those people don't bring him in as it stands?
Can we just confirm that just because people send you text messages, that doesn't make them friends of the show? Like, that makes them people...
He's a listener of the show. he's going to have hurt feelings now. He got his shout out and you've just shot him down.
We reserve friends of the show only for like famous people like Damien Cook, and pretend that they're friends of the show, not avid Canberra fans. that was insinuated. You didn't need to call him a nobody, Jono. Where were we? I can't even remember.
Is Nicho a trade?
Maybe not. I don't mind the idea of having Sand and Smith down there as your second halfback if you're looking to go to a Connor Watson at hooker or something like that. Would be an option. I wouldn't be bringing him in this week with his break-even in the 120s, put it that way, but he's probably going to be worth a trade-in over the Origin period, yes.
All right. The other big, I think, talking point out of that game is Moeni Hiroti, who backed up his 77 last week with a 72. He actually, interesting, despite being named at centre, he played left wing this week. Ronaldo played in the centres inside him. His break even is going to be negative 60-ish. Is it worth it if Hiro is only going to miss one to two more games, Tubes, as a quick cash grab with Moeni Hiroti?
Yeah, I think so. 289K, if he makes 100K, I don't know. Like, he's probably – he's obviously next man up for the Sharks when they get an injury. I don't know. It depends on your team. I've been lucky enough to bring in Kant and Egan this weekend, so I'll have to have a look. Cash generation might not be – the biggest priority, so it probably just depends. But I do think he's not a bad option. He looks like a serviceable player from a Supercoach point of view.
All right, three more well-owned players, Tubes, that I'll just run through. Feel free to jump in if you have anything you want to add about these guys. Adam Fanua-Blake had a 46 in 44 minutes and came off with a minor groin issue that is said to be not too bad. He's expected to play next week. Ruben Garrick, who was over 800K, he bounced back after a disappointing couple of weeks with a 77. And big Hamole Olakau'atu, who's in 33% of Supercoach teams, he had a 43. And it was a little bit worrisome that while he was still in the 20s, he actually hurt his shoulder when he was missing a tackle that led to a Kennedy try. And it seemed an absolute miracle that he stayed on the football field. You saw that injury, didn't you, Tubes? It looked pretty bad.
I didn't see that it looked bad live, but it felt like the set after that, he went to make a tackle and just looked completely gone. Like, I was surprised that he was able to stay there. Yeah. So he's done well to stay out there. I suppose we'll just wait and see what it looks like. Bit concerning for his 33% of owners, though.
Yeah, I think it is. We'll have to see what comes with Teamless Tuesday. I'm sure the Baller Boys will be able to give us some good analysis there come Tuesday afternoon. All right, Tubes, it is time to get into our favourite segment, Ready to Explode. Now, last week, Tubes, we both had a shocker. You had Hugo Savala, who got a 20, was your Ready to Explode player. I went Jeremiah Nanai, who was pretty disappointing again this week. Do you want to clarify what we're doing with this segment, or are we just going to keep going with it and just on a case-by-case, week-by-week basis, the criteria can shift as we see fit?
Look, I think the majority of it is that you're trying to pick a player that is ready to explode. They might not be... might not be highly owned. They could be a young gun coming through that you're noticing some changes that you really like. Or it could be like an under-owned sort of gun, or maybe a fallen gun that you think's ready to get back to its best, and sort of looking a little bit outside of the square if you're looking for someone like that. Preferably, it's a young gun on as an up and comer that you're sort of looking for that they're ready to go and ready to explode, which leads me to. My pick for this week, he is a man that has well and truly exploded, but I still had to pick him, and that's because he had a huge role change this week, and it's Dylan Egan. He was named to start in the back row on the edge for the Dragons on the weekend, and I wasn't planning on bringing him in myself. For just into the side, but I ended up bringing him in. I didn't play him, unfortunately, but just wanted to see what the minutes would look like. And he's basically gone edge. Then when Luciano's come on, he's gone middle. And then when there's been someone else go off, he's gone back to the edge and played 80 minutes or 77 minutes, missed a couple of minutes at the end with a minor elbow issue, which has come out and said he's fine. I just think he looks unbelievable. He's a young, up-and-coming player that you can just tell he's going to be one of Flano's boys. Like, as a Sharks fan, you just know those types of forwards that Flano's always been looking for, and I think he just fits that mold really, really well. Good to see him get over for a try as well. Like, he's definitely got that attacking upside. I likened him to a last year version of like a Max Plath. Like you just always know he's going to be there and he's just going to keep turning up. So, yeah, Dylan Egan. Does he fit the mold, Jono?
I don't understand the mold, but I like it. I think he was awesome in Chiefs. I also wasn't going to bring him in, and when that extra information came in about the late change, I swapped over from Tommy Cant onto Egan. So, and I'm pretty happy with the change. Didn't play him like you, but very happy to have him in the team. I still think he's a buy next week. He's going to be up over 300K, but I still think with a negative 57 break even and looks like he might be an 80-minute edge man, I still think he's a pretty solid buy next week. I think if you missed him, you'd still be happy to jump on even with that extra price.
He could be a keeper you're getting for 300K. He honestly could be like a Hopgood from a few years ago where he could end up being mid to high 600s and just a season-long hold, and you're getting him at a 300K discount.
Yeah, I've certainly got the work ethic for it. Well, my ready-to-explode player this week, Tubes, is Dave Fifita, who had 128 points on the weekend, two assists and 22 points in tackle busts. He's only going to go up around 20K in spite of the big score. So he's going to be around 670K coming into this week. And you mentioned that it could be a fallen gun who's had a role change. And he started again on the weekend due to Bo Fermor having to push out to the centres with JoJo Fifita being a late out. And this time, unlike last week, Fifita last week played 60 minutes. This week he played 74, had an early shower at the end of the game when it was done and dusted. And this time he made the most of it. He was looking to bully people with every single run that he took. And it was actually interesting, Jules. We spoke about his Origin prospects last week. Jaden Sewer played Origin over David Fifita last year, and they were opposed together. And Fifita made an absolute beeline at Jaden Sewer every time he got the ball and was just pushing him off. I think 22 points to tackle bust. I think probably 16 of those came from bumping off Jaden Sewer. And he looked unbelievable. So if he is named to start next week, I am putting him down as an absolute must-have. There is still the chance that JoJo Fifita comes back into the side, which he will. Bo Fermor will push back into the back row. Surely Fifita holds the starting spot, Tubes.
You would have to think so. Like, I mean, what more does Dez need to see to play that man 80 minutes? It just would be absolutely crazy not to. And I hope he does. And if he's named to start this week, right up until game time, he'll be coming into my side. Him and Ekat, just the two premium second row forwards that I think that you want.
All right, well, let's get into the second half of our games analysis. This one, less to talk about from a relevant Supercoach perspective. It was the Rabbitohs versus the Cowboys, the second half of that doubleheader out of Perth. Chiefs, we both played this man, Purdue. He has been renamed to Playdew. He had 111, two tries and an assist, plus he actually bombed another assist chance earlier in the game too. 60% of his owners sat him this week. And to me, he looks to play against anyone who isn't the Dogs of the Storm. And he's now going to be over 500K with a negative break even. You're pretty happy because you were huge on him in the preseason. It started off a little bit average. How are you feeling about Playdew now?
Yeah, he was an original RTE for me. If you're asking what's an RTE ready to explode, it was Purdue in the preseason. He's actually updates have come in while we've been chatting, Jono. So he's ended up 121. A huge sit v start player. The writing's been on the wall for the last couple of weeks, and he probably was genuinely ready to explode, and he did on the weekend against the Bunnies. He looks, you know, it might feel like an unfair comparison, but as a 19-year-old, he just looks silky smooth. He's got good hands, good ball movement. He's quick. He's got a good step. His body shape isn't unlike the 18-year-old debutant Kalen Ponga that we were talking about a bit earlier when he was on the wing for the Cowboys. I think he's got a big future, Purdue.
Yeah. Well, a couple of Rabbitohs players are. Trell Mitchell played his second game back. He had a 68 with two try assists. Concerning thing was his running game was near non-existent playing 5'8", which is what you would think would be a really dangerous threat for South. He had 3 points in hit-ups. Like, not even three hit-ups. That's two runs, 3 points in hit-ups, and he now has a break-even 149. So no one's going to be desperate to bring him in yet. But again, he's going to be very juicy coming up soon. And Peter Mamazelis, he had a 47 in the end. He's going to have a break even in the 50s next week. So he's just about topped out. He's playing good footy, but I think it's time for his owners to sell.
Yeah, Mamazelis now.
He's back to Mamazelis. The Eels versus the Raiders was played out at TIO Stadium. The Raiders moved from GIO to TIO Stadium up in Darwin. And Tubes, a couple of pod forwards. Joe Tarpanay at 3%. Hudson Young, or as you guys at Baller like to call him, Podson Young, coming into updates. You can probably update me, Tubes. They had 103 scored as their live score. Joey Tarpanay had 53 minutes with a try and a try assist. Hudson Young, I think the first time I've ever seen a back rower. It was almost like Tommy Trbojevic playing centres at Origin. He was roving both sides of the ruck. He had a roving role, Hudson Young, and ended up scoring two tries. What do you make of those big fellas?
Yeah, Hudson just he just seems to want to be so involved this year, more than ever before. He's had 109 with updates. He's tough to get into the side. Still don't know what those minutes. He'll keep his minutes, but just what that rotation and everything's going to look like at the Raiders, with Hosking still to come back. Obviously Nicholson now playing big minute role. They've got Smithies, Tarpanay, Horse, Papali'i. It's an enormous pack, and it's unbelievable. But yeah, Hudson looked very good on the weekend, and he would still be a big pod to bring into your side.
You mentioned those minutes, Tubes, and Ricky was playing a few little funny games with the minutes on the weekend. A couple of things that stood out. Tom Starling, having played sub 55 the last 3 weeks, was just suddenly back up to 64 minutes, and he rewarded his owners with a 77, so his break-even is going to be back down to the 20s. So well done to those people who held on. But the one that's owned by, I think he's one of, if not the most owned player in Supercoach, Corey Horsburgh. He only played 45 this week, and he did get a 68, nearly all in base plus power. But those minutes you speak of, Ricky Roulette is what we've called it in the past. Is that a concern as a Corey Horsburgh owner?
Yeah, definitely. I think I said last week he's potentially on the bubble to become a sell. How do those minutes go up again? As I said, when Hosking comes back, and that rotation is like, who do you take minutes off? They're all playing really well.
Yeah, I think Simi Sasangi was the one who ended up with extra minutes, and that kind of happened because Nicholson went off with a HIA. Sasangi came onto that edge, and they just kept Sasangi on. So I don't know if that maybe played a little bit of a part in the minutes, but we get another look because Horse's break-even is still going to be in the mid-30s. Speaking of Nicholson, he ended up with 70. He got a great late chunk try for his owners. Jeeves, what about the depths you were going to after that junk try? You were scanning through going, well, it actually should have been a category one, like it matters after the game's over, that you were dirty as a non-owner?
No, I saw that came in from NRL Physio, did the deep dive in his sort of Instagram or Meta group that he's got. And yeah, he was calling that, he just gave some details on what the symptoms are of a category one. And to my eye, Nicholson was showing those. I think he was on five.
Trained eye.
He was on five at the time. It's a nice junk try from Tarpanay to get him up to 69-70. Well done to owners. Just another week of price rises and negative break-evens.
Yeah, and just wanted on the record, I'm not bagging the NRL physio here, Chips. He does great work. We love the physio, but I'm bagging you for quoting after going, this should have been a retrospective category one. He should have to miss next week.
It didn't feel like it needed anything when he was on 29 with 30 seconds to go or whatever it was.
pretty happy with it. Tamale, he was live with a 26. He's ended up with, there was a 29. So there's a chance he was going to get a try assist. That hasn't come through. That means his break-even is now going to be in the 50s next week. So another one who's a potential sell, but he could also a try and he's back on track. So I don't think it's a desperation sell at all, Tubes. I mean, I don't think, is there anything else you want to say about that, or can we move on to the Parramatta boys?
Nah, him or Shiba. Like, there's a few on the bubble in that centre wing spot.
Dylan Brown, 44 points in the end. He actually had an early try, but then he just completely put away the running game. So if you were one of the 11% who owned Dill Bags, you would have been really happy early. But he just, yeah, took the foot off the gas, stopped running the ball. And one of the kind of cheapies who got away, Kitioni Kotonga, who is only in 3% of teams, he started the year at 230K. He had a 53, mostly from base plus power. He's playing 80 minutes a week. He's going to be up to 390K this week with a negative break even. But I think you've just missed him now. Well done to the people who got on board.
Yeah, for sure. One of the disappointing ones probably for owners that kept after the elation last week with was Iongi. He's ended up downgrading and only had a 25. And I feel like that 100 last week, whilst good, it was a bit teasing because it meant that you've now got to people keep him in the side for a few more weeks. In saying that, he's outscored Kalen Ponga, so do with that what you want. But he's had a 25 and, yeah, he's teetering on a sell.
All right, well, let's get into today's games, which were, yeah, we've spoken a bit about how they went for us, Tubes. But the first one was the Storm versus the Warriors. Just got to mention, Xavier Coates had 141. I mean, he's not a well-owned player. He's not Supercoach relevant, but congratulations to the 3% who own. I'm going to assume that within that 3%, Tubes is going to be the weekly winner for the biggest score in Supercoach. Just some random person who's got Coates in their team and probably Captain Pappy. And Pappy, wow, 137, 10% captain. Can this bloke miss a goal? As a non-owner, can he please just miss one?
He can't give the goal kicking back. Has he missed? He hasn't missed one since he started has he? And they all look unbelievable. Like
they're black dots every time.
Yeah.
He just looks so good. So involved in everything.
It's funny too because they're clearly such the best team already at the moment this year, the Storm. And just in games like this, like Munster's just always happy to take a step back. Whereas Pappy's just always wants to keep his foot on the gas. Like it's like he just wants to accumulate tries and points. He's like that kid that, you know, just hasn't played footy for a bit of time and just loves being out there and just wants to play, which is only good for Supercoach. So, yeah, it's I own him, so it feels tough talking about him this way, but it's just because of the captaincy thing. But, yeah, it was great to see him looking so good.
I think he is the biggest blood in the water player in the competition, especially from a Supercoach perspective. Like when they're hot, yeah, he doesn't take his foot off at all. Like he smells a bit of blood in the water and he just explodes. He's looking to score every set, basically. He's looking to do something, score a try, supporting. Yeah, I'm a really regretful non-owner, but well done to everyone who owns him because he just looks absolutely fantastic. What about Harry Grant? Was a little bit back this week, Tubes. He dropped to nearly under 600K. He's still 19% owned. He had an 83, a little bit of an early spell, but he looked much more involved in the attack this week.
Yeah, the early spell was interesting though because I didn't think about it. They got Garlic on the bench, so that's always a possibility in any given week. Usually probably when they're smashing a team though. But yeah, I mean, he looked good for the big ownership that he's got. I still wouldn't be bringing him in yet off the basis of that game.
I'd be tempted. He's this cheap. You're not going to get him this cheap again all year. So I think if you're ready to move on from a hooking option, say you own Peter Mama Bias, it's actually not that big of a jump to get up to Harry Grant. So I'd be pretty tempted if I had a hooker I was looking at moving on personally. But, yeah, it is a tough one with Origin coming up. It's a bit of a now or never situation. Chips, do you want to give us a stake bet update on our man from round zero we made a bet about, Egan?
Yeah, I think we thought it was over, but he's had a 48 this week, which bumps him up to 610K. I think our bet was that he needs to get to 630K.
downgrading it.
640K. And if he does at any point in the season, you owe me a steak dinner. It looked like it was already going to be done. What, 5 weeks into the season. But, yeah, he's tapered a little bit, Egan. But, yeah, he's got the run in him. I'm still confident he'll get there and go beyond. And I'll re-listen to see if it's 630 or 640.
It's 640. But I think I'm favourite now. That 100's going to drop out of his score and it's going to be a bit of a regressive slide back to the low 500s, mid 500s. What about Lukey Metcalf, who – we mentioned at the top of the show, he's 30% owned, which really surprised me after coming off that buy. He was fluky Metcalf, not Lukey Metcalf. He had 67 with a junk try late in the game, saving his owners. I still think you got to move this bloke on soon. You just wouldn't feel confident playing him for the Warriors at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think anyone that listens to this podcast still owns him. Surely not.
Richo, friend of the show. he's come back around full circle. But I do think it's time to move him on. All right, let's get to the last game of the round, the Knights versus the Tigers, playing out at Newcastle. And we've talked about Ponga. Tubes, you've spoken a bit about Marju, who had a 52 with three errors. So let's focus on Tommy Cant, I think it's pronounced, who was 274K coming into this week, 31% owned. A lot of people brought him in. He was the most popular buy of the week. What did you make of his performance?
I mean, the Knights look terrible. He looks solid. He looks just like a worker, doesn't he? Like with his makes a lot of tackles. I mean, it's hard to have attacking upside when the Knights are playing like that. But I think he's did all the things. He had a good base. You expect him to hopefully play for at least one more week. Yeah, there's not much really to say. Just the Knights were just so bad. Like they were just like, I can't even explain how terrible they were.
Yeah, absolute disaster. I do think one thing I like about Tommy is that unlike Egan is one I would say you would still feel comfortable buying at over 300K if you didn't this week, whereas Cant is not. He's going to be up 100. Yeah, 102K is going to go up this week. So he's going to be 370, 380 odd, and he's going to have Dylan Lucas looming. So I think if you did miss him this week, it's done. Terrell May just keeps getting it done, Tubes. He had an 86 all in base plus power, like literally not an attack, not a stat on the stat sheet that wasn't base plus power. And he did that in 71 minutes of footy. He's just an absolute freak.
Yeah. I mean, he still just hasn't really even scored that many tries, has he? Like he's a captaincy option. He's just doing this in.
Has he scored any? You say.
I was thinking maybe he'd scored one. That's why I didn't want to say he hasn't scored any. Like. He's just been unbelievable. He's almost, you could look at him as a captaincy option each and every week, and if he just jags one of those attacking stats. He scored so many at the Roosters. Like, I'm surprised he hasn't scored yet this year.
Yeah, I mean, and unlike Payne Haas, he is, the minutes are solid. Like, there's no up and down. There's no risk of fluctuation. Yeah, Tubes, just to confirm, no tries, no try assists even this year. And he hasn't had a score smaller than 69 last week. So absolutely incredible how good he's going. And
when you're coming off a week where you get 21 for your captaincy, geez, that looks good, doesn't it? Just a base of 69 with an upwards. Maybe the new strategy is go back to the go for your upside man for the vice captain, and then just get meat and potatoes May as the solid captaincy option.
It's seriously not a bad call. All right, Chiefs, let's get into now our final segment of the Sunday Snap. It's time for the Little Black Book. Who are you jotting down in there this week, Tubes?
Oh, it's a hard one this week. I watched most of the games. Nothing jumped out at me, so I'm going all the way back to Thursday night, and it was just Herbie Farnworth. I think everyone knows he's an unbelievable player. He was a top centre wing last year. He's base plus power. I think I'm jotting it down purely looking at over that Origin period. He won't play Origin, being an England international. And I just think that Dolphins attack has stepped up a little bit. Like it didn't look very good at the start of the year. It's now had 2 weeks in a row where things are sort of starting to click a little bit more. I think they're getting Herbie some earlier ball. Obviously, we talked about the Hammer getting a little bit more involved and scoring a few more tries. I just think if the Dolphins have points in them and they're getting Herbie early ball, then he's got a little bit more upside and he's obviously rock solid with his base. So I think that's my little black book, is just that the Dolphins aren't looking too bad and Herbie's now much more on the radar for me over that bye period.
Yeah, I love Herbie. We mentioned him a couple of weeks ago with his price kind of dropping down a little bit. So he is under 700K now. He's going to lose a bit more this week. They do play the Storm next week, Tube, so a tough game next week. But then after that, they go Raiders, Roosters, Parramatta, Warriors. So it's a really nice little run coming up for Herbie. So you can probably wait a week on the Storm. He's not going to go up too much outside of a huge score against the Storm, which feels unlikely, but really nice run. And I agree with everything you said about his availability over the Origin period. My little black book this week is someone who we kind of hinted at before when we were talking about the Titans. Mine's AJ Brimson, who is only 4% owned. He had 73 with a try on the weekend. He's going to be about 540K. The reason I'm jotting him down in the little black book, Jubes, you mentioned Kieran Foran potentially coming back at either 5'8 or halfback. What we didn't mention is that AJ Brimson's currently Jaden Campbell's Haas partner. And if Kieran Foran comes back into the team, I dare say that that's going to mean AJ Brimson moves back to fullback because Keanu Kinney's out. Jalen DeGroot hasn't exactly set the world alight so far. So I think the clear move is if Foran comes back into that team to give them a little bit more structure, Brimson becomes the fullback. And a guy who's 540K, not an origin threat for playing this year, unless there's a few injuries, I think he's a little bit down the pecking order at the moment. I think he'd be a great pickup if he gets that starting fullback gig.
I agree. I still own him.
Yeah.
And I played him on the weekend. He got a downgrade, which was unfortunate, from 83 to 73. But he, it's a funny one because he barely touched the ball at 5'8", and it hasn't really suited him that well with Jaden. But he just keeps scoring tries. Like, he just keeps popping up. If he goes to fullback, those broken play with a bit more structure, I definitely think that he's going to be a good option. With a 73 on the weekend, I think he goes up to being above his starting price again.
Not by much.
So, yeah, but about around about there, and I'm thinking I'll probably, it gives him a few more weeks holding in my team to hopefully wait and see what happens with Foran.
Yeah, and you'll be very excited, I imagine, Chiefs, if he does get that fullback role. You think that's probably a good thing for his output?
Yeah, for sure. Like, massive. Just. I got rid of one Titan this week. Bo Firmo left my team. I noticed we didn't talk about him because I think you might have held him, Jono. So it's a bit of a tough spot, those Titans. Like, it's a hard watch, those Titans players, that's all. I mean, like, they just don't look very good.
We did not talk about it because I own him and he went bad. We didn't talk about him because he got 35 and he's in like 4% of teams.
Just slid on by that one.
All right, that pretty much brings us out to close out the show, Tubes. Just another reminder, the league code for the Unlimited League, $5,000 up for grabs in cash prizes, 730444. That's 730444. And seriously, if you're a listener of the show and you haven't been on to baller.live yet to check out the website, make sure you jump on there. You can see all the minutes for the round before lockout tomorrow. And it's also just the best website now in the business for looking at your weekly live Supercoach updates.
I mean, it is easily. I don't know why I went, "Phew," as if that was a big comment. It's over and above. So, yeah. Good app, Jono. Kept it under an hour again. Starting to get a feel for this.
Yeah, I maybe because we were both a little bit snappy after today, maybe all we need is a really bad captain. We'll just have a little bit more aggro to work out. But I actually do feel better. I hope, hopefully the listeners out there, those of you who did make that great captain's call and Pappy, hopefully you get to be smug and enjoying hearing us down the dumps. And, yeah, hopefully I feel a lot better after talking it all through, Tubes, and hopefully a few of the listeners do as well. But the next pod in the Baller feed will be back on Tuesday for the Tuesday Team List show. Tubes, anything else you want to keep us posted with?
You beauty.